Hi guys, welcome back to the City Confessions. I am so excited. I don't know what it is, but recently I've been in the groove of doing this podcast. Maybe it's because it's been almost 2 years or I'm just bringing on amazing guests, but I'm really excited. So sit back and just enjoy yourself because I have a feeling that this one is going to be, it's going to be a really good one. It's going to be a juicy one. So welcome, Judge Khanna.
He is the creative director and creator of luxury eyewear brand Spilled Milk, which is based in New York City.
I'm so, so, so excited to talk to you. So, hi, how are you?
Hi, Marianne. I'm doing so well. So excited to be on the podcast. It's my first podcast, so thank you so much for having me.
I know, I was joking off air that you're going to remember me forever, hopefully in the best way possible.
Oh, of course. I mean, this is so exciting.
But first, I wanted to mention, like, your name is, it just flows naturally. It's definitely, we were talking before a little bit of, like, having a memorable name.
Yeah.
And it's very, like, fashion, like, appropriate.
Yeah, so my real name is Gajan, which is derived from the Indian god of beginnings. So my parents were like, you know, I grew up in New York, so, you know, having a really ethnic name was not like the most like effective name to have, I guess, if that makes sense. And when my siblings were younger, they couldn't pronounce my name. So they said Judge, or they said Judgy. And so as I got older, Judge stuck. And for the longest time, I didn't even know my real name. And so I don't know if you read that book, The Namesake, but it was a very similar story to someone that was like trying to find themselves. And then, you know, working in fashion, having a memorable name was so important. And Judge was kind of like this like very powerful name. So it kind of like gave me that confidence to kind of push forward and do certain things that I would have probably not done if I didn't have that name, which is interesting, I guess.
I love it. It's so interesting. Yeah, for sure. So why don't we have you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell us who you are, what you do, and your relationship with New York City.
Yeah. So I'm Judge. I'm the co-founder of Spilt Milk Eyewear. It's a eyewear brand that brings kind of humor to the luxury eyewear market. So it was really inspired by the phrase, don't cry over spilt milk. So to kind of live in the moment, not get stuck in the past. I went to Parsons, I studied fashion. And, you know, I thought I wanted to be like the next Valentino and have this like couture brand, but it was kind of during the age of streetwear that I was kind of trying to push this couture brand. And so ultimately, I was like, nobody needs these clothes. Like, nobody needs more expensive gowns. I was competing with the Givenchy's and the Balmain's and the, you know, Ellie Saab's of the world when I was kind of creating these gowns. And I was like, you know, I need to create something that has meaning behind it. So Spilt Milk has become an inclusive platform to show that everyone may share, you know, the same taste, but they may not share the same facial shapes. So all of our frames are adjustable. They're created in a malleable titanium and stainless steel. So all the frames can sort of be adjusted to fit your face like a glove. So that was really, there was a meaning behind creating the brand. And I was like, you know, this makes me feel like I have a purpose. And then I grew up in New York. So creating an eyewear brand based in New York was really important to me because New York is so diverse, you know, this is the melting pot. So it just made sense.
Yeah. I was going to actually ask you what was the, story behind the name? Because when I went on the website, I was like, this is cool. But I was like, where did they come up with this? So it's very, like, I love the story. You also mentioned that it was like an organic thing that happened. So can you walk me through how that happened? And you were telling me about like the partners from like all over the world. Like, I'm so curious to hear that whole backstory.
So it's a really interesting story because I basically was thrown into reality I want to say like my senior year of high school. So I grew up in Long Island, and my mom kind of, we had some kind of like family dynamic kind of shift, and to kind of create a synopsis. But ultimately, I had to grow up. So I was like, I need to kind of figure out, you know, where I'm going to college. And, you know, I was in high school and I was interning at this PR firm, and I was trying to kind of figure out my place in fashion. I think ultimately you hear no a lot in fashion. And so I was like, if I start early, I'll create that reputation and that'll allow me to grow. And so I was interning, and then I created a really solid resume and then got into Parsons. And so I was at Parsons for 4 years. I got my bachelor's in fashion design, and then I was working in shoes and bags. I was working at Sam Edelman for a bit. And then I ended up working, I was working in shoes and bags, and I thought like contemporary fashion was really important and that's where you make money and stuff like that. And then I got into the world of styling. So like after transitioning out of that, I was sort of trying to like figure out what I wanted, but I didn't know, you know, I realized that from designing shoes, I liked to design custom clothing. And then from custom clothing, I realized I liked to design experiences. And I was like, you know, I wanted to think about the customer going from their morning till their evening. And so when I was developing my own women's wear brand, I kind of like felt like it was really important to know what the customer sleeps in, what she wakes up in, what she goes, like where she goes to the grocery store, what she smells like what makeup does she wear? I felt like it was really important to understand like the full 360 of the customer. And then I don't know, like it kind of, then I just felt like it wasn't complete, you know? And so I was doing it all myself and it wasn't working and it wasn't making money. And I know that like, you know, in order to have a successful brand, like obviously you have to make money. And so I don't know, like it kind of, it just all started to kind of just go silent for a bit. And I was like, you know what, like maybe I failed, like maybe this is not the right path for me. And so something compelled me to just like close shop. So I stopped my women's wear label and I ended up, I was sitting on the subway in New York actually, and I saw this woman wearing these gorgeous designer sunglasses, but they didn't fit her face properly. And so immediately I thought kind of, wow, like she has these beautiful sunglasses, but they don't fit her properly. And like, what a shame, because she has a beautiful face, but she is wearing a beautiful pair of sunglasses and it just doesn't look right. So that immediately kind of sparked something in my mind where I was like, there must be a way to create frames in a material that can be adjusted. So I then did a ton of research. I started looking into manufacturers. I started looking into different forums on like how to start a sunglass brand. And so my business partner now at the time was on the same forum as me. And you know, I was like looking at kind of his notes and what he was saying. And so we ended up connecting. And so I was like, you know what, maybe I will consult for him. I'll develop his branding and his kind of his designs. And then I will take that money and I can start my own brand and I can kind of create something new. Fast forward, my retainer was up and he was like, wait, I don't want to do this without you. I feel like we work really well together. We have a very similar vision. Let's do it together. And so I was like, well, if we are to do it together, we're going to have to come up with, you know, a totally different brand name and stuff. And so he actually used to always say to me, Judge, don't cry over spilt milk, you know, just live in the moment. Because I used to stress out a lot. And he's very chill, you know, like we really balance each other out well. And so ultimately, like we both ended up just being there was such synergy in our work that we then ended up like teaming up and creating the brand.
When did the brand launch?
In January of 2019. So we had a soft launch in December of 2018, but then we went like fully public, or we went like client facing, I should say, January 2019. Mm-hmm.
I love that you mentioned synergy, especially if you're creating a brand with somebody else. So you personally, how are you guys dividing the work? And can you just say, can you explain maybe like what your strengths are and what his strengths are and how you guys, you know, work together?
Yeah. So he is based in Dubai. So he really understands the customer. He's really inspired the customer, because the customer is a kid that like kind of jumps on a plane and acts on impulse and is not afraid to be the center of attention. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes I always joke and I say that like I am not the Spilt Milk customer, because sometimes I feel like I'm so reserved, but he embodies our customer so much. And so, I mean, I work on the design side, the production side. I basically kind of do operationally a lot of things, and then he has like the high level perspective. So a lot of the kind of dialogues that we have, he's very much involved in, you know, the long-term goal. So he'll be like, guys, like we need to get like X, Y, and Z done to get to this. And then I'll basically work on the X, Y, and Z. yeah. And then we have a rock star sales manager that we just brought on. She's based in London. So she's been kind of showing global buyers the brand. So it's been really exciting. You know, it's crazy just adapting to this new world we live in, because we set a game plan like prior, I think it was in January of 2020. Yeah. And we were like, all right, so like, this is our focus. This is how we're going to get things done. And then COVID happened. And now, you know, the goal was to get to all these like bigger shows and these expos and show the collection. We actually won the CFDA Vision Expo Award.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So that was like so exciting. We were literally unveiling the entire collection and the whole brand to the eyewear world, and it got canceled. Yeah. So it's been interesting. It's been a lot of fun. But yeah, once again, there really is that synergy, because there's so much happening. But like, to have the other side be like very calm and be like, all right, we got this. Like, you know, and I mean, we've had some hiccups. As I mean, you and I were talking prior, you know, not everything is a win. And we experienced a lot of kind of like, you know, yeah, there were a lot of hurdles. And the thing is that with those hurdles, we faced kind of challenges. And so he was like, you know what, Judge, it's a learning experience. It's a learning experience.
So I need to interrupt, because mm-hmm. my next question was going to be, when have you felt the most challenge? So I know you're mentioning, of course, there's obstacles and this and that, but do you recall like a specific moment, a specific time in your career, in this entrepreneurial journey, that really stood out where you were like, damn, that was a tough one?
Oh my God, I have so many. So when we launched, so mind you, when we started the brand, my business partner and I we wanted to create a brand in eyewear, but we had no eyewear experience. Like, I worked in women's wear, but I never understood kind of the accessories market. I didn't know the production timeline, you know? And so we brought on a team member that was supposed to kind of guide us. And so just, you know how you kind of think because it's your baby, everyone else will treat it like their baby, mm-hmm. but that's not really the case. So we experienced a lot of that. And so it was so challenging, because I set expectations so high for myself that I expect others to kind of deliver. And so it was so challenging to kind of get people on board. And you know, a lot of people were justifying on the team that, oh, you're a new brand. It's, you're not supposed to be successful right now, you know, but we weren't pushing to our full potential. And so that was a huge challenge, because then I realized it wasn't the timing. It was just the effort wasn't being put in. And so, you know, we restructured the team, and actually COVID came in at a perfect time. It was a blessing in disguise, because I was able to really focus on rebuilding and restructuring. So, you know, I wasn't really an operations person before doing this. And then I ended up like learning a lot about like the business side, because I was a designer, you know, I went to Parsons. I was not someone that like knew how to look over legal contracts and stuff.
No, I totally understand. And one thing that you mentioned that like rang a bell for me was that recently I've been learning, I guess with COVID, right? Like just the importance of communication. I know that everybody knows that, like, of course, communication is key in any relationship, but I think with my personal just experience, I've been going to therapy and being more intuitive, and I've learned so much about how you show up in the world and how you communicate with others. Totally. Because what you mentioned, like sometimes you look at people and they do something or they say something and you're not judging them and you're not saying that's wrong, but we're so, I guess, confident in the way we do things, mm-hmm. that we sometimes believe it's the better way. So not the right way, right, but like a better way, you know. And I had to change my mindset to think like, well, we're obviously two different people. They have their own mechanisms of like how they operate, and I do as well.
Right.
And it's really finding like a common ground of how to work together.
Totally, totally. Exactly. And that was something I actually learned too, because I was, you know, because it's your baby, you're like, I need to micromanage. I need to make sure that everything is done perfectly, you know? And I think maybe that's the Asian in me, because I'm like, I must make this perfect. And so I'm like learning that as well. I'm like, you know, let me kind of hand the baton over to some people and give them the ability to showcase their talents. So yeah, it's been...
But it's hard. I mean,
it is.
Trust me, I'm like a control girl too. I don't know if it's like the New Yorker in us, but I feel like, yeah, it's like one, it's definitely a trust issue also, but you just feel sometimes that like people are not gonna back you up as much as you will back yourself up, you know?
Totally.
But it's important, and I think once you find your tribe and your people, you're like, okay, these are my people, like, I'm gonna hold on to them.
Yes.
That's how I feel about like my network. Like I pride myself on my friends and my support system, and relationships are so important.
I agree with you. Yeah, 100%. And I actually think that once we restructured the team, there was such a solid bond between everyone, you know? Like, I mean, my sales manager is coming in and like, we're going to go to a winery one day, because I was like, you know, we need to celebrate some wins. Yeah. But
okay, but wait, talking about, so everything has converted to virtual. Mm-hmm. How are you guys still maintaining that strong bond, right? And then on top of that, you guys are living in different countries, different time zones. Like, I feel like there are so many external factors that are going, I don't want to say against you guys, but, you know, making it difficult
to 100%. Get on the
same page to operate a business. But it seems like you guys got to figure it out. So
yeah.
Sorry. How did that happen?
Well, yeah, no, it's so funny you say that, because, you know, it's been a blessing, because Zoom has become so normalized, you know? So like getting on a Zoom call with someone that's about like 10 miles away is so normal, you know? And so because we're working on different time zones and we're coordinating, like getting on a Zoom call has become so second nature. So in that sense, like it's been really nice, because everyone just has Zoom at their fingertips. And we've been able to really communicate a lot. The thing is that I feel like we've all been kind of on like a warped time zone, just because the team is just all over the place. So like, you know, my sales manager was up at 3 a.m. today, and like I was up at 6 a.m. And so just to kind of get everything done, like it's not been challenging, I would say. Like I think that just because we have such a focused kind of agenda that we want to get done, everything has kind of just been like very, it's been kind of seamless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's good. It's, but yeah, I mean, COVID has definitely put us in a weird spot just because we were supposed to be in Vegas for an expo. We were supposed to be in Paris for a showroom, and like everything was virtual. A lot of the buyers are like afraid to meet people, so everything is happening as like a virtual appointment. And the thing that with our brand specifically is that it's so important that you feel and touch the frames because of the material. So that's something that we're definitely going to need to figure out. We were thinking of implementing like some AI capabilities or VR capabilities on our website. But, you know, everything has pretty hefty price tags.
Yeah. And do you believe that you guys, in a way, like lucked out in the sense that the eyewear industry or, you know, even the accessories component of it hasn't directly been affected due to COVID? Because, and your audience is also global, right? Because I know in retail, especially for like lipstick, mm-hmm. obviously that has decreased in sales, because who the hell is freaking putting on lipstick nowadays?
Right.
But people like, you know, you wear sunglasses though, you wear eyewear when you're outside. And then again, like we're gearing towards winter, but that doesn't mean that, you know, people in different countries are not experiencing like the sun. So have you felt personally the business have been affected in terms of the relatability aspect?
Well, yeah, it's been kind of challenging, I would say, because of our price point. We're competing mm-hmm. with luxury brands, right? And a lot of these like fashion retailers are pushing heritage brands because, you know, in this state, I think people are really focused on buying the Gucci, Prada, Tom Ford's, you know. So it's been harder being a new brand because a lot of people are like not as forthcoming to buy into new brands, especially at the price point now, just because the thing is that with our brand, you want to be seen, right? You want people to see you. And with this, like, because a lot of people are sitting at home and like they're not really going out as much, they're more reluctant to buy a more like stand out piece of eyewear. Got so, it. So yeah, that's been a hurdle that we've been trying to get over. You know, also we were so primarily focused on our wholesale market that we kind of didn't really focus as much on the direct-to-consumer market. So that's been like a new thing that I've been trying to tackle, which it's a whole different language on its own. Like I'm like trying to understand like paid social and like, you know, Facebook ads and stuff like that. So it's definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I was gonna say the good thing nowadays is that everything is like self-taught and you have honestly all the resources on Google.
Right.
So I mean, I'm not like saying that it's not going to be hard, but I feel like the good part is that, you know, if you want to do something and if you want to figure things out, like it's on the tip of your fingertips.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that because a lot of the stuff that like I've been learning has been through online like mm-hmm. tutorials, and I'm like, well, yeah. How do I do this, how do I do that?
Yeah, so just do a quick Google search.
Exactly. I know Google's your best friend.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I always ask my guests, what keeps you up at night? And I know it sounds like I don't know if it's a cliche question or just like a weird question, but some people take it literally, which is funny. Some people are like, I sleep really well. And I was like, that's so great to hear. I'm so happy you're getting your REM sleep. But what I mean also is what's stressing you out right now. I know we touched upon COVID and the business. And again, this is whatever you're comfortable sharing. It can be personal as well. But I was talking to you off air as well, just saying how a lot of New Yorkers specifically and entrepreneurs that run businesses, they always feel the need to act like, you know, everything is good, like right. they're just cruising. And we all know, let's be honest, that's not the reality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if true. You were to strip away that layer, what's on your mind right now?
I think the biggest thing for me is I'm trying to learn how to adapt, and it's kind of coming up with the strategy. You know, sometimes like there's so many moving parts to maintaining a brand that it gets stressful, I would say, coming up with the game plan, you know, staying focused on the mission. Like sometimes I ask myself, like, what is our mission? You know, even though I think we've solidified it. I mean, really the brand is eyewear for all. That is our
pitch, tagline?
Our tagline, I guess. Yeah, like our pitch statement, or because we wanted to just create an inclusive platform with eyewear. And so also just changing the vision on how we see people. You know, once you put the frames on, like everyone is kind of within that same platform together. You know, it's like that was sort of the goal. But yeah, I think what keeps me up is just really adapting, like coming up with a proper way to adapt. And I mean, sometimes I think you're right. The New Yorker in me, like I can't sleep, and I'm so used to, you know, like when you, prior to COVID, like living in New York, it felt like you were running on a treadmill, like constantly. Yes. And like, now I feel like I'm standing on this treadmill and it's not on, and I'm trying to run and it's just not moving.
I know. And you're like, do I need to get a new one?
Exactly. Exactly. So like, that's been kind of the challenge too, is like, I have this like very fast paced mentality. I've also moved out to my mom's house in Long Island. So I used to be in downtown in the financial district, and I lived there for about like 4 years. And so this has been a huge adjustment, just kind of like staying here. And like, the great thing about that is that I've had all the time in the world to work, you know, like there is nothing stopping me from getting anything done, which is fantastic. But then at the same time, like, especially, you know, also having a brand, like you have to be out there. Like people have to see you, people have to know you. And like in 2019, like I was everywhere. I was at every event, every night. Like, so adjusting to that, I think sometimes I think that keeps me up at night. I'm like, oh my God, I have no friends. I have no social life.
I remember when the pandemic first like started happening, like back in March, I saw these funny memes. Uh-huh. And one of them was like, oh, I'm never going to decline a plan again. Like, yes. You know how usually you're like, oh, maybe I'll go. And then you say you go and then you end up not going. Yes. And it was so funny because I was like, oh my God, that's totally me. I've definitely done that. And now I take it back. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Moving forward, I'm just going to say yes.
Yes. My sister and I were planning to go to Japan last year, I think in like April. And I pushed off that trip because I was like, you know, I don't even know if I mentioned, but I had a full-time job when I was running Spilt Milk last year. So I had like, I was doing sales and marketing for this like wellness club. Mm-hmm. And that was a full-time
job. That's how you met Amy.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes.
So, exactly. I know, small world. But it ended up that I was so focused on building that company that I wasn't putting all my efforts into this company. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of like, everything happens for a reason. But like, that was one thing that like, if I knew that this was what was going to happen, I would have definitely been like, all right, I'm going to take time off and I'm going to go to Japan, you know?
Mm-hmm. Japan is actually also one of my favorite places in the world.
Really?
Like, I like to think that I'm well-traveled, and like, honestly, it ranks like number one or two for sure.
Really?
It's
still like
a dream. Yes.
Yeah. I'm excited. I think I am going to start planning some travel soon, just because
when we can.
I know, exactly. I'm like, I'm going to put it out there, you know,
manifestation.
Manifest
it. Yeah. That is what I'm about.
Oh my God.
Sure.
We speak the same language.
100%. Okay. So, I want to know what your morning routine is. I always find it like interesting when people tell me how they start their mornings. And does every morning look different considering, you know, your work being global? Or does it pretty much
It's pretty similar. So like I wake up, my mom leaves for work at about like 7:30. So she always makes my cup of coffee. So the first thing I do is like go upstairs. I go to the kitchen. I get my cup of coffee. Then
Do you drink it black?
No, no, I used to, but I drink it with skim milk and two brown sugars.
Interesting. I love it.
And then I sit at my desk. I check in with my sales manager, and like, cause she's also supported us from an operational standpoint too. So there's like a lot of things that she's working on simultaneously with sales. So we'll do like a check-in. We'll kind of organize some conversations that we'll have throughout the day. So that's usually about like an hour, hour and a half conversation. Then I'm done with my cup of coffee and I make another cup. And then I will just continue to like answer some emails. And now that I live at home, like everything has become a group activity. So my sister has a trainer. So her appointments are usually at 11. So we'll all just like hop in the car. We'll go to the gym.
That is so cute. I love that.
I know, everything is a group activity. It's so funny. My business partner makes so much fun of us because like we'll go to the grocery store together and she's like, oh my God, you guys can't do anything by yourselves. And I'm just like, I know, what is this new life? But yes.
Family and bonding is key though.
It is. I mean, yeah, we've definitely gotten too close for comfort.
Is there such thing though, if you guys are actually family? I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I guess it's nice. But yeah, so then we'll go to the gym. Then by 12 noon I'll get back. I'll have like a few more calls. That's also when, so our PR firm is based in LA, so once, like, because we're working with specific Pacific Standard Time with them. Mm-hmm. I'll check in with them. I'll see if there's any updates. And then around like 5 is like when I'll like shut off. Because I'll be like, okay, that's it. But
I actually like that you said that because I'm the same way. Like I know when I'm my most productive. And after 5, I mean, obviously there's going to need to be like days where you do work, you know, after that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I just know myself and like the energy that I have expended throughout the day. Like that's kind of my cutoff point as well. And it's really important to be able to know when to shut off, right? Yeah. Because then you won't perform as well as you could have or should be doing afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I'm up at 6. So
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
At 5, I'm dead.
Yeah, like, no more.
But I mean, I, you know, and in full transparency, I take breaks, you know, like I will literally, I mean, I've turned my living room into my office. So it's very separate from my like kind of relaxing space. Mm-hmm. It's funny because my desk used to be in my bedroom. And I couldn't sleep at night.
You can't do that. No, yeah. You need that separation. I tell people that all the time. Like, I'm really grateful because I live in Brooklyn, but my building has a co-working space, like a physical, I gotta go down the stairs for that. And people, you know, New York is really common to have like a studio.
Yeah.
You know, like not being able to have the differentiation is so, so difficult to, again, like you said, turn off your brain.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I believe like your bedroom is meant to be for sleep only.
Yeah, I literally had like documents from, you know, when I launched my women's wear brand, I had like tax documents. I had so, and the craziest thing was that I couldn't physically fall asleep because of those papers. Like they were everywhere. And so, and I had, and they were, it was organized, it was in drawers, but it was just, I guess, because it was like sitting in my face. I ended up cleaning my room completely. Now I just have a bamboo plant, a nightstand, and a carpet. Like, it is, like, yes. So, it's so zen.
Your physical space is a reflection of your mental space.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm going to quote you on that. I love that. It's so true. And especially now, like, I've moved my desk and, like, whenever I take a break and I leave my desk, I'll, like, sit in bed, I'll watch some TV, and then I'll, like, run back to my desk to, like, you know, I'll take a half an hour break in between the days. Just to kind of have that like reset, because mm-hmm. it's kind of like, it's almost like a computer, you know, your mind like overheats and you have to just like turn it off for a minute and then like go back.
That literally happened before we recorded with me. Like I had to turn it off because it was like reheating. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like the computer needs a reset as well, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because if you think about it, like what we do, mm-hmm. it requires so much mental capacity, you know, like it requires so much of like your time, your efforts, your energy, your physical, your mental state. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so important to constantly like reset it just to kind of make sure you don't overheat.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. So we're talking a lot about, you know, working hard and taking breaks. Uh-huh. How do you personally define success, and what does happiness look like to you?
That is such an interesting question because I've been toying with that in my mind for so long.
You know, I feel like a lot of people, that's what they want in life, right? Like they're like, I just want to be happy, or like, I really want to be successful. But at the end of the day, like, what do those even mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's so true because I thought money was everything, honestly. Like I thought money was all that I wanted. Until, you know, I saw some of my friends that had an abundance of money, but there was still a void. And I was like, well, I don't want to be like that. And I think happiness to me is just living in gratitude. Honestly, like I thank my stars every day because of what I have, because I actually got it tattooed to my arm. Like I got the word gratitude in Sanskrit. On my forearm, just to remind myself to be grateful, because you'll never get these moments back, you know, and to live in a state of just gratitude is happiness. So I think I would say that I am happy. I'm happy to do what I do. I love what I do. I think it's also so surreal to be a designer and like have something in your head become a living product. We just shot our season 2 campaign in London, and I haven't even seen the sunglasses for season 2, and like the photographer has, like my sales manager has, like a bunch of people have seen it, but like the fact that they are holding something that was created in my mind is so surreal, you know. So I think and success ultimately, I would say, is once we've achieved kind of a mass visibility, you know, when our brand message is spread across the world and people are starting to associate kind of inclusivity along with our brand, I think that will make me feel super successful, because I think then we've created purpose and mm-hmm. we've had our voice being heard.
I feel like that is like in the stars for sure.
Oh, thank
you. To happen. Like that's not even a question.
Oh, thank you. I know. We're just it's so, I think also like the thing is I'm never fully satisfied. So I'm always like, things must be better. It must be better. It can yeah. always be better. So that's why like it's nice when you ask me questions like this, because it does allow some sort of self-reflection, you know, mm-hmm. that you just take a moment to be like, and actually I was telling an old client actually, that every time I get really stressed, I take a moment to just think about how much I've already accomplished. Because then once again, that kind of resets you and you're like, okay, wait, I am on the right track, because sometimes we could be kind of blinded by the moment.
I totally agree. I don't operate that well under stress, and I'm always stressed. But what I've learned to do is sometimes I tell myself, like, actually, you should be grateful that you're even stressed out, because the fact that you have things to stress out is a good thing.
Yeah, right? I agree.
If people are just chilling and, you know, they don't have, it's like challenges, right? And I always say, like, the universe grants you challenges because it knows that you can handle it and that it's necessary for, like, personal growth. You need to, like, it's like you're playing a video game. Like, you need that. You need to beat, you know, the monster or whoever, the rival, right, to, like, get to the next level. So I try to welcome it with open arms. But when I'm in the moment and I'm like, oh my God, like, freaking out, I'm like, just chill out.
I love that analogy. Or that metaphor, actually, because it's so true, because it's like whenever you level up, the levels get harder, mm-hmm. you know, and the monster gets crazier. So.
First time using monster in my podcast.
It's so true. No, but it's so accurate because, you know, when we launched the brand, I didn't face anything that I'm facing right now, you know, and so that clearly means that I'm doing something right.
Oh,
and I think for you, yeah. too, I mean, that is... That's a fantastic feeling that you're like, oh my God, wait, I think I got stronger.
Yeah, sure. So as we're wrapping up the podcast, I don't know if you saw this coming, but my podcast is called The City Confessions, because at the end, I always invite my guests to come and share a confession. So just to, like, a little disclaimer, feel free to share whatever you're comfortable with, and it can be something that's very surface level or deeper, and it can be silly or not. So there's no right or wrong confession. It's just like a little fun thing I like to throw in the end to kind of weave all the episodes together. So if you were to share a confession, what would that be?
That's so funny. Confession is that I am a workaholic and I forgot how to date. I have no love life.
I feel you on that. But you know, okay, so another thing that I, let me know if you agree with me. So
yeah.
I like to categorize, like, life or, like, how fulfilled I am into three, like, buckets. So one is professional. The second one is personal, which that includes, like, dating. And then the third one is more like social, like mm-hmm. friends, family. And oftentimes, as long as I have two of my buckets full, I'm good. Anytime I have one, definitely not good. Like, I'm not a good space. I'm not a good person. Like, I don't feel good. And the goal is to have all three filled. So... what do you think about that?
I love that, actually. I mean, that actually puts so much perspective into my life, because my romance bucket is totally empty. My friends and family is pretty full, and my work is full. Mm-hmm. So I guess technically I should feel really happy according to you. But
no, that's why you mentioned your confession, because you knew something was missing.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you brought that up, because anytime I've been, like, thinking about, like, dating or, like, going out and being social, I think family and work have been very strong, mm-hmm. but social, I've seen a few of my friends here and there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think you actually know her. Do you know Thanya Peck? Mm-mm. She's Catcher in the Style.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know her personally, but we've met and... we follow each other, yeah.
Yeah, so she's one of my best friends.
Aww.
And so she used to be my neighbor. And we would hang out all the time. And, like, that was – she basically was, like, a huge kind of – she was a huge portion of my life last year. And she still is. Like, we still hang out. But I've, like, missed hanging out with her so much. And, like, we used to literally take on the city. Like, if we weren't together, like, everyone was like, wait, where's Judge or where's Thanya, you know? And so so it's funny, because we that was, like, that's something that I need to, like, fill in my bucket. But yeah, no, I think it is very relevant to kind of put those three buckets in your life, mm-hmm. because sometimes I think we kind of mix them all together and we're like, where's the void? Like, what am I missing? And I think that's That's interesting.
Yeah. And just to, you know, like put it out there too, like with dating, because trust me, like I'm on the same boat. It's one of those things where I feel like if it's all about timing, right? Yeah. So I think right now, your life, your timing, obviously you're meant to be where you're at. And, you know, your moment of your career and the business, right now is the time for it to shine. And right. let it do its thing, you know? And like with dating and all that, like it'll come. I always believe in that.
I also feel like I am so focused on like my brand and everything like that I'm
You probably don't
on.
Even have time.
I know. Like, and that's the thing is like, yeah. I'm like, what if it becomes a distraction? Like, what if it's not good?
Then you'll learn to prioritize, you know? Right? I think you will, you definitely sound intuitive and like very grounded, and I think like it'll come a moment where you're like, okay, you know, should I be focusing on this more, should I be focusing on that? But it'll all work out. Like I know it sounds so easy peasy, but I truly believe in life, like it's hard, but like you got this, like we all got this, you know?
Totally. Oh my god, I feel so motivated now. I'm like, I'm ready to like put my my big boy pants on and take on the world.
I totally agree. I have a few more questions. So if you could thank New York City for one thing, what would that be?
My thick skin. New York has blessed me to not be sensitive and to you know, to be ready to ask for what you want. You know, I think the city has so much to offer that if you don't ask, you won't receive. So I have to say, like, I built a really thick skin being a New Yorker for sure.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I totally believe in like what you just said, like you have to ask to receive. And I mean, I took the opportunity to ask you to be on my podcast, and look at you now. I want to take a moment right now, like a moment of silence. But no, honestly, like I just really want to thank you for coming on. I always feel like when people say yes to me, like that's a big deal for me, because you know, you have 24 hours in your day and I do as well. And what you make of that is ultimately your choice. So right. The fact that you like penciled me in, like I'm so grateful for that, and I just love our conversation. I feel like I could talk to you for hours.
I
and
know
be friends after this.
I'm literally about to come to Brooklyn and get coffee with you. I so appreciate it, honestly, like you caring about what I have to say and like just having me on the podcast. It's like, it's my first podcast. It's definitely never, it's an unforgettable moment. It's so exciting. I mean, like,
but I also will never be the best.
No, it's amazing. I'm grateful for sure. And I think, you know, going back to our point of like, you have 24 hours in the day and you'll never get these moments back. So enjoy them. And I think this was a nice, you know, way to kind of take a step back from everything and just reflect. And I think that's really ultimately your behind your podcast is like, it's a reflection. Yeah. It's really, it's like a moment for everyone to just look at themselves and just be, you know, honest. Yeah, exactly. I love what you stand for. Honestly, I think it's amazing.
But we have to bring it back to you and end on your note. So what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
I would say I'm genuine. I think it's like what you get, what you get, you know? I may not always be like so like sunshine and flowers, but my core is good. And I think that's helped me so much in kind of like my personal life and my family life and my career life is that you know, there's a certain level of authenticity. And I think that's really important. And that's really what I look for in others. Cause I think I set such high expectations for myself and those around me, I set the same because I'm like, in order for all of us to like be together, like we must put ourselves on a pedestal in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, and I can tell you are genuine for sure.
Oh, thanks.
I feel like I have like a gift, which is like to like weave out, you know, like toxic fake people.
Yeah.
And I truly believe like all the guests that I've brought on, first of all, we just vibe like naturally. Yeah. And I haven't even met you, but also I feel like all the people that I've again like brought on, there's definitely this energy, and I wouldn't say yes to them either if I didn't feel that. So your genuinity? I can't even pronounce that word. You try it.
I was like, I'm not gonna try that.
is very like apparent. So
oh, thank you. I try to just anytime I'm like, if I wouldn't want to hear it, then I would not say it.
Kind 100%, of. Yeah. So thank you so much for being on. Right now is your time to plug in what you're working on. So if you can just share, what can the world be on the lookout from you, Judge, in the next month, in 2021? What are your secret projects? Just what's on the horizon?
Oh my God, we have so much in the works. We just dropped the brand in Hong Kong's On Pedder. So that's really exciting. So we'll be showcasing the brand there. We're working on our next season. So we just shot the campaign that I kind of mentioned earlier. What else? We do have a few exciting projects, but I can't say them yet. But once you see season two, those will come after.
Amazing. That's all you need to do. You need to leave like a little bit of a little teaser.
Yeah. Some awesome collabs. That's what I can say.
I will leave all of Judge's information in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. And yeah, just follow his journey. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with for sure. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you again so much.
Thank you, Marianne. You are incredible and your energy is contagious. So thank you again so much for having me.
And I hope you guys felt the energy as well. We're all about positive vibes here. And stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye.